There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.
Welcome to the C Word on the Fangirl Zone. I'm one of your hosts, Steve, and joining me is...
I'm Terry.
And I'm Kim.
Well, once again, I have failed in finding any ratings for Orphan Black Echoes, and it's starting to get in my craw here if I don't find something soon.
I've worked with Steve for many years. You don't want anything getting stuck in his craw. It's not
pretty. No, it's not. But I do have a recap for episode 4, It's All Coming Back. Supervising, Lucy and Jules turn to extreme measures to excavate a shared memory that may contain clues to their past. Kira encounters Emily at Darrow's Foundation event and discovers she may be more friend than foe.
All right, let's get this party started. So we start out with Jules, and she is packing in her room, trying to hurry up so she can meet Lucy. She's in her room with Wes, and she is still furious about her parent making her take that pill. Knock on the door, and her mom comes in and wants to go out for some ice cream. And Jules is just not having that. She's ice cream. I don't want to have ice cream with you. Like, she doesn't tell that to her, but you can see it's like written all over her face.
Surely you can't be serious.
So she's like, can we have a rain check? And her mom leaves, and Jules is like, that's like crazy. Her pulling that, trying to do this after she pulled that. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And, she wants Wes to cover for her while she goes and sneaks out and meets Lucy. And Wes is a little apprehensive, but he does agree to it. They switch phones. Jules takes his jacket and his hat just in case anybody's watching. And she leaves after switching, you know, phones with, Wes. And I'm like, why is it so easy for her to sneak out? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me, but...
Yeah, Jack should be at the front door almost 24-7.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a nervous Nathan who would do that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So we see Tom and arguing with... I'm sorry, what's her name? Young? Yes, okay, I wanted to make sure I got that right. About... comparing Mariah Carey and Celine Dion, which is blasphemy. Okay, as a big Celine Dion fan and Mariah Carey, you just don't, they're completely different. Don't try to compare the two. I just, and I don't want to jump ahead, but also, unless you come in first on American Idol or you have a recording contract and only maybe then do you try to sing a Mariah Carey song, a Celine Dion song, a Christina Aguilera song, or a Whitney Houston song. You just don't do it.
Right.
But I digress. Anyway.
And they were terrible. Tom, don't sing again. Please.
Yeah. So they mistake Jules for Wes. So it worked. They see Jules sneaking out, but they see the jacket and the hat and see Wes' phone on their tracking app. So they're like, oh, no, it's just the guy. Then they talk about Wes' stand-up comedy and say they should listen to it because he's kind of funny and he's going places after
sounds like
that.
Emily wants to be a supporter of Wes's in some way.
I know, Patreon. Yeah. If that exists then. I don't know if that still exists, but maybe. Yeah. Okay, so for a brief second, we see two guys discussing what I can only imagine to be the Bachelorette still going.
That's what I thought.
He was mentioning the rose, and now she should have picked this one guy. So I'm like, oh, wow, the Bachelorette is still up and kicking. But they're towing a trailer, which is Lucy's trailer. And we know it's Lucy's trailer because we see a book fall while they're pulling it, and it's a book titled The Philosophy of Identity, and it falls to the floor. So we know it's a trailer. Very short clip. Then it goes back to Jack and Lucy as they sit down with Charlie to kind of explain what's been happening and why people have been after Lucy. So they explain to her, as much as you can explain to somebody, that Lucy was printed, which Charlie takes amazingly well. I wouldn't have believed it if I was Charlie, but like, I guess maybe, you know, 2050, whatever, that's coming, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, her initial reaction, you could hear her voice. I'm like, oh boy, this is going to get big. And she just kind of rolled with it.
Right. Yeah. She says she thinks it makes makes Lucy even cooler than she thought. So that's pretty cool. And they're immediately interrupted by Tina. Saying that she's apologizing, but says, Lucy, you have a very young visitor here to see you. And that very young visitor, of course, is Jules. How did she know where Tina lived? I don't remember how that happened, but she made it there.
Maybe just... Lucy sent it to her off camera via phone, because she didn't tell her last episode.
Last episode, that's where Jules and Lucy was when Lucy had to go back and get the drug.
You mean when Jules had to go back?
Yeah, Jules. Yeah,
I thought they were at Craig's place.
I did too.
Didn't he say you're not prisoner, Friend. But whatever. Yeah. Something like prisoner has returned. And then at the end of the conversation, she tells her, I have it, but I have it home.
Right.
I thought they were at Craig's place. So that makes it even more confusing.
Yeah,
she must have sent it to her via text or something.
Maybe. Anyway, we see Tina, and she appears to be spouting back information that was given to her a minute before that we didn't see. She's basically saying, so Jules is related to you, but she isn't your sister or your cousin or your niece. Is that correct? And Lucy's like, yes. And she's like, okay, you know what? I don't care. I have a date, so I'm going to leave. Don't mess up my stuff or I'll mess you up.
Yeah.
And you know she would.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially when Jules grabs the one piece of decoration on the table next to the couch. Mm-hmm. And Jack is like, what are you doing? Didn't you hear what she just said?
And Jules takes a little dig at Lucy. She says she's surprised she's in a monogamous relationship, asking her if Jack and her were open, because that's just something Jules wouldn't be into. And she tells Lucy that that's not really her vibe, so they must, you know, printed people must be a lot different than they think. And Lucy, and I'm like, well, yeah, maybe Lucy's just been through some stuff, so she's just like ready to settle down, and you're a teenager, you know. But Jules says she spies a quaint picket fence, kind of a Norman Rockwell-ish type thing in Lucy's future, and Lucy reminds Jules that she knows nothing about her life and what she's been through up to this point, and that Jules would be lucky to find somebody like Jack, to which Jules sarcastically says, oh, I hope I do.
This calls it monogamous with a cishead snoozer in Dullsville.
Yep.
How do you really feel, Jules?
Really?
I love that.
So, of course, they break out the drugs and
start
mixing up their concoctions.
I was thinking of Walter Bishop on Fringe.
Yes.
Excellent. Let's make some LSD.
Exactly.
Miss Walter.
Yes.
Excellent. Let's make some LSD.
Nothing really happens for a while, and then Lucy starts looking at Jules' book and says, hey, we need some paint.
Yeah.
And so they end up putting paper on the floor and paint out the bathroom scene.
Cool music, Lucy, by the way, when they were mixing it up. I even posted it on our Facebook page.
Right.
Song by a woman, Anjuli, and the song's Danger. Cool tune.
And Lucy and Jules hear a sound and decide it's time for a break, and they go out on the back porch and kick back and chill for a while.
Anybody else think of the final scene that the original OB, when all the Sestras were sitting out in the back?
Oh, yeah.
Allison, of Allison's house, and they were, you know, talking and going through the diary of Helena. I kind of got that vibe, too.
Yep. So we cut to the Darrow's Foundation, and he's having two scientists give presentations, one on deep sea exploration, and then, of course, Kira Manning on organ printing. Kira speaks with Darrow's about their project and tells him, you wouldn't want blood on your hands. Whatever the consequences, I think that falls on both of us equally, is what he replies with after giving it some thought.
Yeah, if I'm going down, you're going down.
Right, yeah. Sometime we have to make sacrifices for the greater good. So, you know, yeah, I'm sure that Kira was just, okay, I can't trust him any further than I can trust Tom. Later on, Emily decides to show Kira Lucy's trailer. Kira
that
finds
was a shock.
Yes, it was. Kira finds
I think
the book.
We were talking about that in the last episode. Maybe she's going to be, you know, more friend than foe.
Right.
Yep.
So, yeah, Kira finds a book with drawing of a young boy inside, The Philosophy of Identity. And I'm not sure that was a young boy. It may have been a young Charlie.
That's kind of, yeah, to me it was kind of ambiguous.
Yeah.
But it reminded
me
of
that kid in the picture.
That's, there you go. Yep. That's exactly who I thought of, so.
That they needed to come back to.
Yeah.
Well, she kept that picture in that little thing where she kept the money and the gun all the way in the back. The thing that looked like a switch. So she took it out in the first episode and was looking at it. You know, so she had this youngin' on her mind all this time, so it fit that she would draw that, unless Charlie drew it in the book.
Right.
Mmm.
And Emily's helping Kira because she knows what it's like to be the only one looking out for someone. Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I want some backstory there.
Yep. So the next day, Lucy and Jules make the rounds in Jamaica Plains, and they find the, I don't know what you would call it, a religious statue of some sort. And they look around all the houses to see if there any of them have a window that you could see it through. Because there were several things that Lucy didn't remember of the dream that Jules did.
Yeah.
And so Lucy's starting to get ready to give up on it. And they come to a corner and hear what sounded like a little bit of Helena's theme song.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
So they walk up to this building, and it's now a fraternity house, the Zeta Rho Beta Triannual Froze Tourney. And they
Froze Tourney.
Yeah.
Well, the sound they heard was one of those wind direction things.
Yeah,
that turns truck. With the wind. Yeah, yep. That turns with the wind, and it was obviously a little bit rusty, so it would squeak, and that was the noise they heard.
Yep.
So, yeah, we go to the Froze Tourney. Yep.
And Jules just kicks butt everywhere.
Yeah!
And she wins, and
gets the
right
to the bathroom.
Yeah, they get the keys, and they both go in, and Jules goes to the window, and Lucy looks at the floor, and
flip that around.
Okay, yeah. Lucy's out the window, and Jules goes to the floor, and finds an opening, shall we say, to reveal the floor beneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's the same one in their dreams. And so when they leave, they've got to find out something about the woman who lived there before, who was named Melissa, and she's got some mental issues.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So they track her down and go to visit her, and apparently Melissa kind of recognizes Jules, but she calls both of them Eleanor, and we see a nurse calling Kira about Lucy and Jules. And, of course, Tom has already got Kira's phone bugged.
Jerk.
Yeah. And, of course, he's all excited. And we see later on that Kira also finally gets the message, and she turns the car around and heads down the road.
Race, race.
Yeah, who's going to get there first? And we go back to Tom and Myung singing Celine Dion.
No,
don't do it ever again.
I loved Emily's response as she's looking out the window. Oh, that's a shame. We go back to the nursing home, and Lucy sits down after Melissa kind of shouts at her, and she notices this pillow, this throw pillow, and interesting picture on there. It's of, as we know them, Jules' graduation, and it's got a picture of Jules with Cap and Melissa, both of them much younger. And they both ask her a couple of questions, and finally Jules makes the comment, "You're our real mom." Well, the conversation kind of edged towards that way, which kind of made me think she really isn't. But knowing how the Orphan Black folks go. But yeah. They think that that might be their real mom. Interesting. And she does have some knowledge that is definitely relevant to them. And then she kind of goes off about it, hair clips and all this other stuff. So she wanders off to get a hair clip. She's obsessed with Jules's, or she thinks, Eleanor's hair. Jules is like, help me. Yes. And Lucy looks out the window and sees Tom and Myung coming up the walkway. She's like, uh-oh, exit, stage right. So they both skedaddle out of there. So as they split up, Neva is at the elevator. Jules is trying to get out via the elevator, and all of a sudden it opens up and out walks Neva. Now, what is she doing there? That's interesting. Lucy makes it out, or as she's going to go outside, she goes down this back stairwell, and she meets up with Emily. And I thought, uh-oh. And Emily's like, push me. I was like, what? Push me. I thought, that's not really a great line for a first date. But she says that, and finally Lucy realizes what she's meaning. So she pushes her against the wall. Emily kind of over-accentuates it and goes down the stairs. It looked to me like she kind of forced that fall down the stairs, but maybe it was genuine. And so Lucy exits. And then we finally assume that Neva has taken off Jules back to their house, because as they're getting ready to leave and they're talking and Jules is accusing her, here comes Tom with gun in hand, and Neva pulls out her spray. Sprays him. Just sprays him right in the eyeballs. I was like, atta girl.
Yeah.
And off they go. And then finally Lucy, Myung goes past Emily, who tells her just go. So she knows that she's caused enough of a distraction. And Lucy gets outside and up pulls Kira. Get in the car. You're the last person I'd get in the car with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understandable. And as she's saying that, all of a sudden Myung makes her way out that back door and is running towards her. Kira screams at her to get in the car, and so she finally does. And off they go, and Myung gets a couple of shots in the car, and to the body of the car, and they scamper off. So the escape worked. We finally end the episode with Lucy and Kira on a bench at the beach. And Kira says, I'm going to tell you everything. She starts to open up to Lucy, and the first thing she says is, first, you should know you were made out of love.
Getting the talk.
Yeah.
And that's where we go to black. Interesting.
Yes, it was.
I did have, before we get to our listener feedback, I wrote down two just general notes since last week of about the show just in general. You get kind of there's a kind of sort of feeling of The Truman Show, that movie.
Right.
That's kind of, I was saying, there's a slight Truman Show vibe-ish. And then the other thing was related to Emily and her being there. We were saying about her getting, she thanked Daros for helping her. We were kind of guessing, well, maybe she's got a printed organ.
Right.
That might have saved her life. You know, Tom's now pairing up with Myung. I guess he could pair up with either one of them on whatever they're doing. I don't think that matters. But I kind of got the feeling with Emily that in Fringe, here's another Fringe reference, it was the first or second episode where the character John Scott gets in an accident.
Right.
As he's racing away from the hospital, and he crashes, and Liv, played by the amazing Anna Torv, she runs up to him, and one of the things he says before he passes out is, ask yourself why they wanted you on the task force.
Right.
You know, yeah. Of course, we find later there was a motive for that. So I'm wondering if it was happenstance or, as we were kind of hinting, maybe gratitude, why Emily has been brought into all of this. So maybe it's a John Scott question. Ask yourself why you were brought in.
Yeah.
So those were the general thoughts I was having since last week. All right. Anything else about the episode we want to talk about before we get to the listener feedback? Going once, going twice, sold to nobody. Okay. So we got some audio feedback, as we always do, from our favorite audio feedbacker, Fred from the Netherlands. So let's give a listen to what Fred has to say.
Hello, Steve, Terry, Sean, and Kim, and all listeners to the C-Word/The Fangirl Zone. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for Orphan Black Echoes, Season 1, Episode 4. I wanted to say, coming back to last week's podcast first, but that's not possible because when I record this, the podcast about episode 3 is not out yet, but I could listen to your podcast about episode 1 and 2. So I want to come back to those first. In the episode 1 podcast, Terry, you said about the old series, the original series, that the Diet building was in reality a mortuary or something like that. But actually it's a hospital. But it's connected to a very old building which was previously a prison. So there is a walking bridge between the hospital and this older building, which has now mainly administrative offices in it, but also an exposition about this old prison. Anybody that wants to see it can just visit it in Toronto. It's a public hospital, so you can walk into it. And also this prison has an exhibition, so it's accessible. Another topic that you discussed was the hidden code that Lucy has on her left shoulder. And she checked Jules for it. Nitpick, of course, is that she should have checked the other shoulder of Jules because she couldn't find that code on her left shoulder. I don't think, Terry, that it's a kind of an umbilical connection or something like that. Actually, I think the scar they have on their arms is that. So the spot where the printer detaches or something like that. I think the code has some kind of similar meaning as the DNA code in the original series Leda clones, like the 324B21 code in Cosima. If it's really true that Jules doesn't have that same code, she could be a kind of aberration or something like that, like Sarah and Helena were in the original series. Okay, about your podcast about episode 2, great, fun podcast. Thanks, guys, for the interest in my health and how I'm doing after my heart procedure. It's going in the right direction. So, thank you very much. Okay, let's go into episode 4. Let's start with the best quote of the episode. When Jules and Lucy are on the veranda after their trip, Jules says to Lucy, "If all of this is true, you're technically only 2 years old. So, welcome to your childhood." In this episode, we really get closer to kind of solution. A meeting that Melissa, which would be the mother of Jules and Lucy, who are actually Eleanor, or they are copies of Eleanor. Well, that's at least what we think now. In Orphan Black, you never know which twist is ahead. But mostly you get real solutions, you only get a bunch of new questions. So that's the nice thing about Orphan Black, this series as well as the original one. You get quite quickly in the story a bunch of answers you need or want. The only thing is you get new questions, which gives you a feeling of a high-paced story, which it is. The whole trip idea was not so bad, and making the painting together, it really helped, giving pieces of the puzzle and making further steps. And I think they came quite far this episode. Of course, we have a new mystery, so what happened in the house of Melissa? And although Melissa has quite some severe dementia, it blends through how probably she was when she was more able in straight thinking, what kind of person she was then. Not such a nice experience for Jules that she realizes that her real mother is a kind of bitch. But she doesn't have to carry that burden on her own, because the same is true, of course, for Lucy. And intriguing is that Lucy is in a car with Kira now. Okay, that will be all for now. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
All right. Thank you so much, Fred, for your great feedback.
Well, I had said mortuary about the building. That and a prison are not happy places.
No.
but yeah, that's as soon as he said that, I was like, yeah, that's right. So, excellent comments. He kind of covered the whole basis here.
Yep. Jeez. Yeah, and I kind of think that because Melissa kept mentioning their father, he's always late.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's very possible that maybe the girls thought that the father was abusing Melissa and it was kind of going down to them. So the only way to get rid of the dad is to take him out.
Ooh.
So that's
a good theory.
What I kind of think has happened there. But
so he
I've been wrong before.
So abusive dad.
Yes.
And they decided to kind of correct the situation. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because their mother probably wasn't always as bad as she was there brushing Lucy's hair.
Yeah, boy, she was obsessed with the hair.
Yeah.
So it seems like this Eleanor might be, even though she's not a clone, might be clone zero.
Right.
For the two of them. Yeah. That's if the mother's memory that seems to, in pieces, fit is correct.
Right.
So it's amazing that she looked at both of them and recognized both of them and called both of them Eleanor. That, I thought, was fascinating because when she says it, she's looking at Jules.
Right.
But she, over the course, addresses them both. There was one thing in the painting which I thought putting the painting on the floor and piecing it together, I thought was brilliant. Because as they were doing it, I was going, well, that's really neat. And then when they had that wide shot above it, you know, showing the whole layout, I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yep.
So there was there was a couple drawings in Lucy's book that Jules noticed that she recognized. They kind of looked like tattoos, but it might have been on the handle of the knife. And
right.
There were initials SRM.
Oh, I completely missed that.
Yeah, and we never learned her middle name in the original, but my first thought was Sarah Manning.
Yep,
good. But we don't know Sarah's middle name. So unless that's who it is, and that's who they're going to eventually say what her middle name is in Echoes, that was my first thought, but it's not. You know, there's nowhere to go with it. So, yeah, really good feedback. I did have one general thought to something that, as we're going to wrap this up, that Simone commented on our last week's episode, talking about printing people and printing them at different ages. And I had said, which is kind of what we were kind of rolling with, is, well, they printed Lucy first, and she's been around a while. Well, if you go back to the visuals, Lucy wakes up on the couch. And Kira tells her she just had a procedure. So we're assuming that the procedure is she came out of the vat of Pepto-Bismol.
Right.
Okay, which means she would have been created at her current age. And then Jules has that flashback. Well, we see the flashback to what happened to her. And we see the goop first, and then she wakes up in the hospital room. And she's got some pink stuff in the back of her hair.
Yep.
And we could assume that's when she first awakened from being created. So it might be, maybe Simone was onto something, just whether she was going there or not, that maybe they are printing them at different ages, which would be even creepier.
Yeah.
I think.
But also, why? Like, why would you do that? Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the...
If you think that Eleanor actually killed her father and then, ran out of the house, out into the street, and got hit by a car. And Lucy didn't have any of her long-term memories when she came out of the goo.
Right.
Why not try to go back a little bit further in Eleanor's life and see if that it happens again?
Oh, so print out Jules closer to that age.
Yeah.
But again, I think that's a good theory. I like that. But again, we go back to Kim's question, why do that? The idea of their printing organs to help save lives, I could see that.
Right.
If the technology gets there by 2052 or later, I could see that happening. And that would make sense. I mean, that's what medical people are supposed to be doing, is to help people, cure people, et cetera.
Yep.
To do this, it's different than Walter Bishop's thing in Fringe of, working with the Cortexafan, trying to make kids into adult super soldiers, if you will, because something bad was a-coming down the road.
Right.
We don't see any hint of that here. So what's the point? Now, that answer lies with Daros, I thought.
Probably. Probably.
Why he started that whole thing in the first place. That's some really interesting points here. I didn't know we were getting so philosophical today.
Yeah. We'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. We're almost halfway through season one. And you can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com. Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other podcast catcher you use for your podcast, as good ratings and reviews will help other fans of the show find us as well, as we're not where a lot of people expect us to be.
Are you saying you'll never know where we'll show up?
That's right. So, for this episode of The C Word, I'm Steve. I know it doesn't always feel like it, but I am your mother, and I just want to protect you.
I'm Terry. I think I better buy better floor glue for my tiles.
And I'm Kim. Don't ever try to sing Celine Dion. Just don't.
Absolutely. Truth. Preach it.